Alexis Avery Touch.
Let's talk about workforce development.
Alexis Avery Rocks.
You're invited to the number one event with Alexis LeBroy.
Hi, everybody. It's Alexis LeBroy back for another Alexis Avery Talk. This is episode number 4. If you noticed on last episode and this episode, the very cool intro music. I have my own theme music. I never thought I'd ever be able to say that. So I just wanted to thank the Rave team for putting that together. Very cool. And really happy to be here for this next episode. Last episode, we talked about how rough it's been for live events. And I don't want to stop talking about that. I want to keep talking about that as the year goes on. You know, we're just so used to being behind the scenes, and a lot of people just don't really know we're here. So I want to introduce you to my good friend of many, many years, 25 years plus, Ken Peavy. Ken, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad you reached out to me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we have followed each other, you know, for so many years, you know, all this time. Like I said, Ken has been my friend for so long. He was my first boss. He was my first manager. In 1995, when I graduated from college, it took me a while to find a job. And that fall, I think it was the fall, I started working for presentation services at the Stouffer Renaissance Hotel in Chicago, Wacker Drive. That was my first, you know, real professional, like, get up every day and go to work job. And I was a technician. And Ken, I think you were assistant director at first.
And in fact, when you had interviewed the director at the time, he came to me and he says, you know what? I have a candidate here, and he says, since she's going to be, you know, the person who I'm hiring for is going to be reporting to you, he says, I want to get your thoughts on the candidate, and what I had seen about you. I was just like, yeah, absolutely, bring her on board. I have no doubt at all about working with you, and I was so glad I did. Because eventually then when I moved up into his position, then of course you moved up into my position. And so it was great having you in that position as well. You were a natural. I enjoyed our time together.
I did too. And I appreciate you saying that. It's really funny because I was late to my interview, and it's even a miracle that I got past Craig and Brian and got to you because I was late. So I think I got lost or something. So Wacker Drive is tricky when you don't know it that well. So I really, you know, I have you know, really fond memories of us working together. It was hard work, you know, and I think we had different shifts. So it was shift work. I mean, it's working in the hotel doing AV, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning. And then I think the late shift was 2, and overnights and all that. And, you know, just learning from you, I feel like has propelled me in my career. And, you know, I just am so happy to have the opportunity to, you know, I've told you this before, but to tell the world what a great leader I thought you were. And,
thank you.
You know, it was cool working for you. I thought you were fair. You know, there weren't a lot of women there, but there were other women that would come through, like Cindy. And, you know, it was just a great opportunity. So, yeah.
I'm certainly glad to hear that. And from my point of view, I mean, if I had someone who loved what they were doing as much as I did, you know, I was more than happy to work with somebody like that. And and especially that location, it was actually a good spot. I always think that, you know, that the type of business we're in, you need to be so well-rounded. You need to have your hands in everything. And the nice thing about the Renaissance, as well as a couple of other locations I've been at, that particular location, it had very little of the trades that were doing things. So we actually had to do a lot of the rigging. We had to do power, some of the things right. that you would naturally bring in some of the trades to do. And so that was kind of nice that I remember when we would get in the lift and we'd go up and we'd hang, you know, cable and hang lights in the ceiling. I mean,
right.
that's a nice thing to do when you're coming on board. And so mm-hmm. I really enjoy doing it. And then other venues, I've worked at just a multitude of venues and brands, mm-hmm. Ranging from convention size hotels to boutique hotels. Working with the trades, not working with the trades, but mm-hmm. I mean, all of that together and knowing everything and getting your hand into everything is just so critical and so vital in being a success.
Right. I would agree. And, you know, I think that, having that experience and being able to teach people what you know, I think mm-hmm. that was something that you and Craig really instilled in us, you know, as a team, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, talk about that a little bit. Like, what was your first AV job? And what are some of the jobs that you've had over the years at Presentation Services?
Yeah, when I worked for Presentation Services, and this is kind of funny because through all mergers and acquisitions, different names.
Right.
Are coming up. But literally when I was hired by Presentation Services, I must have been one of the few people that through all the mergers and acquisitions was always Presentation Services. You know, when I picked up the phone, you know, for 26 years, it was nothing else besides Presentation Services.
Mm-hmm.
So since they've been rebranded, it's going to be kind of interesting when I come back on. Presentation Services has been rebranded as Encore within the past couple of weeks. I mean, mm-hmm. It's been an ongoing discussion for at least a year, I want to say.
Right.
I think it's a wonderful choice. Encore signifies let's do it again, and mm-hmm. and so I love that choice in doing that. But in terms of what I was doing, I mean, I was an entry level person doing setups, and after a year of that, I was brought into our office and told to sit down in the assistant director's chair. And he said to me, he says, how does that feel? Like, what are you getting at? And he's like, going, well, we want you to be the assistant director.
Right. Right.
That was the extent of my interview, but I did that for 3 years and then became a director. And then past 22 years, I've been just moving around. But I think it was kind of interesting when you said like with the training, because the past 4 years, yeah, 4 years, 4 years ago, I was asked to be a subject matter expert with service. And so I was asked to be a service excellence coach. And so that was like, it was training, yes, but it was more brainstorming training. I would collect the data on how our surveys were. And I would go to these locations and sit down with the team at another hotel and say, here's the data. And let's brainstorm from that. What do we need to do? What are the areas we need to focus on?
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually making the plans. And it's not me telling them what to do. It's them saying, hey, this is what we're going to do. And so I really love that training aspect of it, is like allowing people to grow.
Yeah, I think that's great. It's I don't know. It just sounds like over the years, not doing what I loved about working in the hotels and working for the company was I could go to a different location. And for me, I went to different cities. I was single for a lot longer, you know, than you were. So I would go to different cities, but, you know, go to a different hotel. After you've learned, what you needed to learn at your current hotel, and then, mm-hmm. Go on to someplace else, reinvent myself a little bit, you know, pick up, you know, meet some new people, pick up something new, work with some different challenges in that venue space, and, and go from there. And that's what I really loved about it. And then still keep my same tenure in the company because it's the same company.
Yeah. And I like how you mentioned that with the venue space and moving around, because I mean, once you get everything down, what you need to do, moving to venue, that's the biggest challenge. Is like, okay, yes. how do I deal with these chandeliers? What do I do with this throw distance here? Mm-hmm. But because you have the background of saying, okay, this is what I do in situations like that, then you can adapt yourself. So yeah, that's very key. You know, getting the background first and then moving around, and then it becomes easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, one of the things that I got from you as a leader for our team was the fact that you don't withhold your knowledge. The best leaders share their knowledge with the rest of their team. They are interested in teaching. They are interested in training. They are interested in coaching and counseling. And that was one of the things that I really learned from you in the time that we worked together. And, you know, what are some of the things that you continue to teach your, you know, new people that come into your staff? You know, what do you think is your leadership style?
Well, you definitely have to have a dialogue with them on a daily basis. That just makes things work so much smoother, you know, and then they don't look at you as like, hey, he's giving me orders to do. It's like, hey, we're a team working on this together. And then the next thing you know is like they're doing things without you telling them to do. Mm-hmm. But, yeah. You know, from that point, then, you know, besides the daily interaction, the daily dialogue, you do have to set up like a permanent weekly meeting where, you know, you try as best you can to make sure it's just you and them, or, you mm-hmm. know, and whoever else you're having a one-on-one with. And let them know, you know, everything that you've had a meeting with your boss, with the venue, with the client. And of course, you know, you adjust it as it can. If you can only spend 15 minutes, you know, then you do it. But you make the time work well for both of you. And then you don't stop it with you telling them. Then you wait. And then you're like, okay, now it's your turn.
Yeah.
Now you tell me what's going on. You tell me what questions you have. And that's what you should do, you know, once a week outside of your daily dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, just getting them to talk and give their ideas and opinions and, you know, suggestions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. And I tell them, you know, I'm only as good as the people that I surround myself with. And so mm-hmm. I get their input. And I tell them, I says, don't hold back. Tell me when I mess up, when I need to be doing better. You know, I don't want to be looked at as like that. I know everything, you know. So that's what I do.
Not everybody likes that 360 style of, what do you call it? Of reviews.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not everybody likes that. You know,
I'm probably my own worst critic, so.
Well, you know, yeah, I don't know. I have never heard anybody say anything bad about you the whole time we've known each other. But, you know, the live events communities have been obviously so adversely affected by COVID during this mm-hmm. time. I mean, like COVID is a whole time, right? A lot of people are having or being forced almost to, you know, use the skill sets that they have to change professions. Mm-hmm. And I know that you're one of these people. I wanted to talk to you about what have you been doing during this time?
Well, you know, with me, I lasted around 6 months past when things started to shut down. Because with my sales skills that I had, I was able to pivot to doing virtual sales mm-hmm. from the live sales. It was a natural progression for me. And the leads that I did had and my sales efforts, you know, I just wasn't getting people to bite. And I tell you, I look back and I'm like, boy, if I just had a couple people to bite on this, you know, I might still be doing it. Mm-hmm. But sure enough, August came around and they says, you know what, Ken, we're going to make a change. So we need to place you on furlough. It's that time. So I looked at you know, what do I know what to do? way back when I graduated from college many years ago, I had actually was in the process of becoming a teacher, getting my teacher certificate. I had a number of education courses. I had actually graduated without the teacher certificate. I had 50 hours of classroom work under my belt. So I already had a bit of knowledge. But the only reason I didn't go that route is because I was actually offered a position with another company at the time. And boy, that path changed just like that. So I look back and I'm like, oh no, you know, so many years ago, this is what I was interested in. So I checked it out. I had contacts at my son's school. I did volunteer work there and, with athletic committee, with drama club. It's kind of funny with their drama club. I actually utilized some of my skills where they had me audio teching some plays. And so yeah. I was actually able to pass my skills on to some students as well so that they could do it. Mm-hmm. But then I found out what I needed to do, and I was able to turn that around in about a month's time. And then once I was had that, then of course then I reached out to the education community outside of my son's school, to my son's school and also to other locations. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, I got a call and they says, hey, how would you feel about subbing for us, to teach English and math in fourth grade? And I said, absolutely,
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, I tell you, the jitters maybe lasted a minute. And then I was just like, wait a second, these are fourth graders. I can handle fourth graders. I love working with students. Oh my God. I'm just pouring this knowledge into their heads.
That's great.
And so I subbed for 4 months and then literally on Thursday, I was approached by the leadership of the school I'd been subbing for 4 months. And I said, we want to give you a permanent position to the end of the school year. And I said, yes, I'll think about it first. But literally a couple of days later, I was just like, I reached out to him and I'm like, let's do this. I want to make this happen. I was really excited about it.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great.
Today was my first day as a regular full-time teacher. So
that's great. Congratulations. I love it. I saw you post that on Facebook or LinkedIn or somewhere. Yeah. And I was like, that's great. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're proud of it, you want to shout it out. So that's what I did.
Yeah, absolutely. and why not? And, you mentioned that, some of the students in the drama club that you talk to them about your skills, I'm very curious. Are you talking to some of the young people about being an AV professional? We're trying to get to them young,
Yeah. Well, one of the teachers there, and she's also the drama club leader. We're real close friends with her. And, mm-hmm. My wife helps out. My son is in the plays, and I like to say I fill in the gaps.
Okay.
And so, there was times that they just had just challenges with their sound system, and so I was asked, hey, can you come in and just whatever you can do to make this happen? And so I went in and I tweaked their amp. I gave all the equipment a run through, and what the biggest thing is the students who are in there, you just got to let them know, here's how you wear a headset. Here's how you place the microphone. It's almost like, when I was back at the venues, telling someone about where to place the microphone on them. Mm-hmm. But some of the same things is like, okay, you tell them, don't turn it off. I'll mute you here at the board. And then the people would still turn it off.
That's what the professionals do too. And then they don't turn it off when they really should. So.
And so I would be showing some of the guys how to do that. And of course, people could do it in my absence. But I would go and help out every so often.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I think, you know, just being there, you know, as a parent and as a teacher and as somebody who knows this technology, I think that's really cool because it does, you know, I always say, if you can see me, you can be me. And, you know, if they see you and you have this knowledge and you have this understanding of the technology and you can make it sound better just by giving them some tips.
I love hearing my knowledge, you know?
It makes a difference.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm excited for you for your new position. You know, and I know that, you know, of course you want to be back in the industry and back at the company, and you know, I know that's definitely the goal.
Yeah.
But you know, what advice would you give somebody else who is contemplating, unfortunately, contemplating a new profession, or you know, what would you tell them how to approach it?
Well, again, when I was looking to get another job as well, you know, I just didn't narrow myself down to what I had been doing. I mean, I just opened it up. There was points where I'm like, you know, I'm looking at a posting and saying, am I qualified for this? And I look through and I'm like, yeah, you're right, I am qualified for this, you know. Why, you know, whether it's a sales position, a marketing position, you know, a development position, you know. Don't limit yourself. If you have the skills and you can sell yourself, I mean, there I go back to a sales position. You know, that somebody once told me, you know, a sales position, you're selling yourself really when you're going to a job interview. So, that would be my biggest advice to people.
Yeah, I know a lot of people are discouraged, you know, but you're saying open up your field of vision to
Yeah.
some other possibilities.
Yeah, and don't be afraid to have someone tell you no. I mean, if you're thinking, hey, am I good enough for this position? Tell yourself you're good enough for a position, make the jump, you know. And if they tell you no, you know, use that as something constructive, and don't let it stop you.
Well, good. Okay. Well, anything else you want to share? Anything else you want to share with, you know, maybe your teammates that are also, you know, kind of waiting, kind of hoping to get back into things again sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a rough go. You know, I keep hearing, you know, oh, it's gonna be this summer, or now it's gonna be this fall. And so even when, you know, when I picked this up, it was to the end of the school year, you know. So I do this, and you know, there's other things that you can go out and do. I mean, when the election time came around last year, I signed up and I became an election judge. So somebody might think about that and say, gosh, I'm not qualified for that, or I don't know if I can handle that. And of course, like any job that's out there, the first 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes that you're there, yeah, it's your stomach's tied up in knots. But then if you know yourself and you're like, wait a second, I can handle this. So just be comfortable with who you are. Is the best advice that I can give anybody out there, and pick up anything. Because I mean, worst case, I mean, if it's like one day as a judge, boy, now you have the skill set here. You know, you can do this again the next election, or you can use those skills that you learned, you know, to working some other position. You know, maybe it's in the alderman's office or something like that. You know? And I would be like, and I'm always a big fan of volunteering too. Look at your neighborhood associations, look at your schools. If there's something to do, you know, I always tell people, you know, when I'm out there volunteering, that I go, do I go for my skill? I'm like, no, I tell people, you know, tell me what job that is the hardest to do that nobody else wants to pick up, and then give that one to me.
I remember you telling me that years ago. I remember you telling me that you, as an assistant director, you said, my job is to do all the crap jobs that my boss doesn't want to do. I remember you telling me that. And I remember telling you that when you got promoted. Look, I don't want them to call you if it's an emergency. I want them to call me. So then that way you get home with your family and you don't have to worry about this. And I remember that, and that's a lesson that it just stays with me. So, yeah.
I just give the, I give the respect to others that that they deserve, and so that's the way I treat that.
Great. I get it. I get it. I think that our community is resilient, and we're going to bounce back. I think that we're creative. You walk into a space and there's nothing there, and then 8 hours later there's a show. It takes really special people to do that. We work hard under pressure, and we come out, we come out ahead under pressure. And I think that all of those things are going to help us get past this. Don't know when that's going to be. I know it's going to help us get past this, and we're going to be even better and stronger community on the other side of it. Yeah. So I
Well,
just
that's
want to,
the, yeah,
yeah.
the type of people we are in the live events or the hospitality industry, we're into interacting with people. That's what we do.
Absolutely. Well, I just want to say thank you again for being here. Thanks for sharing, what you've been doing this time. Thanks for teaching our little young people, the fourth graders. They need somebody to look up to, and they need somebody to be a role model and to share their experiences with them. And I really appreciate that. My nephew is in the fourth grade, and I'm not sure I could teach fourth graders. I think it might be too much for me, but yeah, thank you for doing that, and thank you for being here today. I really appreciate it. Very inspiring, for our community.
It's been my pleasure. I've enjoyed it. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. How can people reach you, on, LinkedIn, Twitter? Where are you? Where people can reach out to you if they want to connect with you?
Absolutely. Go to my LinkedIn page, and message me through there. Kenneth Peavy, Kennetheth Peavey. I think I'm the only one, but reach me through LinkedIn and give me a message. I'd love to reach out to you.
Great. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you being here. And I know that our community is resilient and innovative, and we are going to bounce back from this even stronger than before. Just a matter of when, not if. So I know that we'll get there. All right. Thank you. Come back for the next episode. Thanks so much.
Alexis Avery Talks. Let's talk about workforce development. Alexis Avery Rocks. You're invited to the number one event with Alexis Love.